Yeah, time to knock back on that heating bill. That's what I say. With us in studio this morning, Brad Fritz, joining us bright and early. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Always so good to be with you on this great Monday morning.
Wow, I think if anybody was kind of like, you know, in between sips of their coffee and still trying to pull out of the bog of sleep and weekend, you just took care of it. Wow.
Absolutely. Good morning. Happy Eclipse Day.
It is.
It is. I'm surprised you're not down in Southern Illinois chasing it.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't even have any glasses.
Well, if you stopped by our office, I should have brought you some. The Illinois Optometric Society sent out tons of them for everybody to enjoy the eclipse.
I don't know. I'd probably go back to the putting the pinhole in the back of a box and looking at it that way if I choose to do so. But I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know what it is. I'm just not really excited about it. Everybody else can be. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge tourist attraction down in Southern Illinois where it hits the most. They're talking huge backups and delays from all the traffic down there, which is kind of funny considering it's, you know, Southern Illinois. Right. And usually you expect your traffic up in Chicago, but yeah, is what it is. Glad there's an attraction there.
Well, I think people started making their road trip even as early as last week because, you know, I heard like a DuQuoin fair, they were kind of opening up the grounds for camping and maybe motorhomes, stuff like that. So it turned into a thing.
Yeah, I'd camp for a lot of things before I'd camp for this. But I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Right, you are. So, in that conversation, that kind of tells me you don't have any big eclipse plans on your own either.
No, I'm going to go and get the tractor ready. This nice weather coming up this week means it's going to be go time in my ag world as much as my rep world.
Right.
So looking forward to spending a little time getting greasy and oily today and looking a heck of a lot less honorable, as they say.
nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think everybody's getting a little, you know, I got to get in the field because, you know, I see the anhydrous tanks here and there. I don't know if anybody's gotten into spraying yet.
You know, it was super nice back in toward the end of February, if you remember, and everybody was getting a little itchy back then, but they, you know, when there's the word February in front of the calendar, you know it's not time to go yet. Well, now that it's April, the first sign of good weather, everybody's going to be rolling. So it's, you know, it seems like the rain's over here for a few days. So hopefully we can we can get some work done, both here and in Springfield.
Right. So it'll be one of those watch out for the implements on the road. They're going to be, you know, sometimes from field road to field road or getting down to another.
Absolutely. Take your time. And, you know, I've just in my short time of farming, I've seen a lot of people try to pass me because they get in a hurry and come very, very close to getting clipped by somebody coming the other direction. Yeah. So take your time and be respectful because if it comes down to a car and a tractor, the car isn't winning.
Right.
So anyway, you know, in that realm, though, you know, you and I were kind of talking before. It's been a rough month. Been a rough month in terms of session, but just here in our own backyard, it's been a rough month. And, you know, I want to start today by expressing my sympathies to everyone across the district. Here in Whiteside County, was hit really hard with kids that we lost over in Tampico.
Yeah.
Around our district, we had a DeKalb County Sheriff's Deputy who was killed in the line of duty. Up, you know, not really in our backyard, but kind of in our backyard up in Rockford, there was a deadly massacre in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's been tough, as we said, you know, back in session, but also here. And there's a lot of really good people out here who are really hurting, and, you know, just to express our condolences there.
Appreciate it. Everyone does.
You know, at least going down that line, just to give a little bit of a legislative update here, House Bill's committee deadline was this last Friday. So all substantive House bills that are going to pass in the spring session, this is the official deadline to have them passed out of committee. What does that mean by an official deadline? Well, it means that, you know, if your bill hasn't been moved from committee to the House floor, it isn't going to be heard. Is that actually the truth? No. Well, if the Democrats decide that they want a bill to pass, they'll make a motion to abandon the rules, and they'll go ahead and move it to the floor anyway, which is fine. But you know, and I think what's best said, so we were supposed to be in on Friday this week passing legislation, and you know, Leader McCombie said it best in a press release she made, and it was actually put out in a Facebook post, and I'll just read it out loud because I think it's stated here the best. After a legislative session day was abruptly canceled in the House of Representatives during a deadline week for legislation to pass out of committees, House Minority Leader Tony McCombie released the following statement. Republicans showed up with good bills for consideration. Bans on kangaroos and exotic cats made the cut, while Republican bills to reduce taxes, hold criminals accountable, and strengthen families were blocked by the majority party. The priorities of this chamber are upside down, and it's immoral to leave early while so much work remains. And, you know, the leader has a way with words, and she hit it hard right there.
Right.
And it's the truth. I mean, there's a lot of people out in rural Illinois who are really, really struggling. And when we have the ability to take up serious matters in Springfield to reduce those struggles, yet we're talking about kangaroos and exotic cats, I mean, we got some serious problems, some serious, serious problems.
That's not the priority that jumps to my mind, so to speak.
Not for me either.
No.
Not for me either. But, you know, for me, I was able to move two pieces of legislation forward, and I can highlight those just a little bit here. We had one of the bills that I'm working on is IMRF fix to align it with the other systems. IMRF being the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. It's a pension system through the state that, you know, your municipal and county employees may qualify for. One of the fixes with that is oftentimes our sheriff's deputies are under this pension program. So what's interesting about it is they have disability benefits built into it. So, you know, for example, if you're a construction worker and you fall and you, you know, spiral fracture your leg or something and you're not going to be able to work again, you have disability benefits if two medical doctors sign off on it, and you know, the pension board says that yes, this is a legitimate claim. What's not built into there is mental health disorders. Reason being, you know, that it wasn't that well known back when these pension systems and the codes were developed. And one of those is you know, the PTSD that law enforcement officers go through. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that, you know, this bill does is align it with the other pension systems in the state now to allow your clinical psychologist who is within their scope of practice to diagnose PTSD to be able to sign off on those benefits. You know, this was something that was constituent initiated that came to me. They got caught in a little bit of a problem with that. And, you know, when it's outside of the scope of practice for a MD to sign off on those benefits, you know, you get caught in a little bit of a loophole there. So this is something, an initiative of mine that is there to align with the other systems and to make sure that, you know, we don't have law enforcement officers who are out there in unsafe conditions because they can't get the benefits that they need.
So is that still on the move, up for consideration?
Yeah.
So bring it to the floor?
It passed out of committee.
Excellent.
And it's on the floor right now waiting to be heard. So excited about that one. Second initiative that I have up on the floor now is a fairly big initiative that has to do with reducing some local taxpayer burden. One of those is, you know, in our tax bills we pay to our townships. So for the last 50 years, the comptroller's office has read, it says in township code that if a local unit of government, a township, receives more than $850,000 in revenue in a year, excluding their road funds, that they're subject to a yearly CPA audit. So this has been fine for years because most townships don't hit that threshold because their biggest amounts of money, especially out here, are in their road funds.
Right.
You know how much it is to salt and plow and all that stuff. It's getting ridiculous. What happened is under Comptroller Mendoza, she reads out of audit code, and audit code doesn't read the same as township code. It just says that $850,000 mark and doesn't say anything about excluding road funds. So the comptroller's thrown road funds into their calculation for what townships need to be able to have of what they when they need to audit. So our local townships have now been subject to a yearly CPA audit. What's the issue with that? Well, first of all, it's unnecessary. You have they're audited once every 4 years under statute. And if a supervisor changes in the meantime, they're subject to an audit at that point in time as well. Because that's the person who holds the purse strings.
Right.
So number one, it's unnecessary. Number two, it's expensive. You know, I've heard anywhere from $15,000 to $35,000 in order to get a CPA audit done.
Jeez.
They're super expensive. Number three is you can't find auditors. They're almost impossible to find. So I'll give you an example. You know, my dad's a supervisor at Dixon Township. They had an auditor. Halfway through, the auditor says, you know, we're not doing townships anymore because there's too much other work to do, and just completely drops them.
Wow.
So because of these three issues, township governments across the state are almost 70% out of compliance with state statute. So this piece of legislation is geared to mirror audit statute with township code, so that way we can get back to how we've been the last 50 years. we'll see moving forward here. We're going to have an amendment to the piece of legislation. We've been in negotiation between township officials of Illinois and the comptroller's office, so we have an agreed amendment that's coming through the process now to be able to give everybody the best of both worlds and having good government transparency along with saving taxpayer time and resources.
Well, it's kind of hard to make those, you know, requirements of a township, especially if you don't have the CPA or somebody's going to drop it right in the middle. Well, that kind of brings everything to a standstill and shouldn't, you know, have anything move against the township after.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys, when you, they just don't have the money. And Tom, I'll tell you where this really came from is I have a very rural township, and they called me. They said, "Brad, we got a problem." I said, "What's that?" You know, their levy is very, very small. You know, they don't have an extra $15,000 to $25,000 laying around, and they said, "Here's what happened. You know, we had wind farms going up in our area, and the wind farms said, you know, they made a promise to us that when they would leave, they would pave all the roads behind," which is pretty typical. And they said, well, they couldn't find any construction companies towards the end of COVID to pave those roads, and they needed to move on to the next area. So they called us, and they said, "Here, we'll make you a deal. We'll cut you a check for the money necessary to pave all your roads, and then you guys can hire the company and be the managers of the project." And they said, "Okay, that's fine, because road funds are excluded." Well, they cut them this sizable check, and all of a sudden now the comptroller's office, who reads it under audit statute instead of township code, says, "Actually, you do need an audit." So now this rural township, who doesn't have any money aside from the road funds, which they are not supposed to use for that audit, are subject to an audit. So it's just these little nuances that cause issues wow. like that. And but our bigger townships are going to get some sizable relief from this. So I'm excited about this initiative. And, you know, when you're 78 to 40, you do what you can do to try to help your people here at home. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Right, right. Once again, we're in the studio with Rep. Brad Fritz out of Dixon. Everybody knows that. you still got the monthly business highlights going on.
I do. You know, that's one of my favorite things. And I know I've said this a bunch of times, but I love our monthly business highlights, and people are really starting to like it too. You know, when I first came into office, and I know I've told you this, but I'll just say it again. You know, we have all these development projects, and we give huge tax incentives and all these TIF districts and different kinds of breaks to get new businesses to come to Illinois, and that's awesome. We need new business. We need to grow. We want to be able to have great goods and services here for our communities to be able to thrive moving forward and have people want to come and live here because it is the greatest area there is. Mm. And from that, you know, I got to thinking and I said, you know, we give all these incentives, but what about the people to new business? But what about the people who've always been here? The people who we call every time, you know, we need a sponsor for Petunia Festival or Fiesta Days or our baseball teams or all these different things. And I thought, how do we say thank you to them? So this was an initiative that I started to thank our local business owners. So this last month, I did a special thank you to and our highlighted our business of the month being Kenny Farms Distilling over in Rochelle. The Kenny family is fantastic. They're great, great people who are very devoted to veterans, to law enforcement, mm-hmm. to just trying to make the community an all-around better place. You know, they took a old theater over in Rochelle and turned it into a distillery.
Oh.
And if you ever get the chance to make it over there, their tasting room's fantastic. They really roll out the red carpet wow. for you. So they made something really special over there. You know, during COVID, when things were really rough with law enforcement, they made a special Back the Blue label.
Mm. Yes.
They've done a yep. bunch of initiatives, like I said, with veterans. They put together a basket for almost any almost any organization. You know, they'll host fundraisers and all kinds of different wow. things. So they're really special to our community, and I was pleased to honor them with Business of the Month for March. So stay tuned as we get into April, and we'll announce who our next one is.
So people from the community get together and make a suggestion, or how does that work?
Yeah, so on our website, repfritz.com, there's a little section you can click there to nominate a Business of the Month, and it's just anybody. You go on there and you put in a reason, you know, what the business is, why you think that they go above and beyond for our community. And then that comes to us and we go through and select. So we've had some great nominees, and that's where we take our pool from. It's, you know, it's not about us selecting who we think is great. It's about you, the people, selecting who you think should be nominated and selected.
Well, Brad, we got you know, better weather coming up, and events and community things happening all over the place. You kind of mapping your calendar out about where you're going to be and when.
Absolutely, we're pretty excited. We're going to do, you know, we did our summer tour last year and we hit a lot of things. We're going to do another variation of that this year and try to hit it even harder. Like I said, there's so many great events, businesses, all kinds of things coming up, and we're pretty excited to hit the ground running. In our office, I hired a second person here within the last 6 months.
Wow.
And her goal is to make sure that we hit all these things.
Hmm.
You know, I've had Stacy in my office. She's been my chief of staff from the beginning, and
right.
Stacy's very good at what she does, and because she's very good at what she does, we get a lot of constituent inquiries with regards to, you know, a variety of things, or FOID cards, you know, tax issues, you name it, it's come through there. Licensing problems, and she's become so bogged down with the work there that I had to go ahead and hire a second person now. Wow. To help with our community outreach, to make sure that we're getting to everything that we need to get to, and that we can best serve the communities that we represent. So very excited about that, and we'll stay tuned through the summer, because we're going to hit some good things.
Something we haven't brought up for a while, but you know, we should probably remind everybody that Rep Fritz is running again.
I am. I'm, you know, it's been the honor of a lifetime to be able to serve in the State House. You know, I talk about this and almost brings tears to my eyes as I say it. You know, every time I drive to Springfield, I come down and I turn and come down Capitol Avenue, because when you drive in on Capitol Avenue, the Capitol sits literally right at the end of the street. It tees into there. And, you know, it humbles me every time I drive in, because, wow, you know, I have was given at 22 years old the trust of 108,500 people to make decisions on behalf of them.
Yeah.
And by God, that's been the honor of a lifetime, and it's not something that I take lightly. I mean, every time I cast a vote, I think about the same thing. You know, what do they want? What's in the best interest of the people?
Wow.
Because while my name's on that desk, in reality, it's your desk.
Mm.
And it's been the honor of a lifetime to serve. And, you know, should it be the will of the people, I'll continue to do it for another 2 years.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. So, yeah, I love the way you put that. Wow.
It really is. It's truly humbling, and it's an amazing place. There's, you know, we grumble and complain about the things that happen down there, but it is truly the honor of a lifetime to be able to serve.
Well, certainly appreciate all you do. And
thank you.
Thanks for keeping your ears open to the, you know, concerns of the people too.
Absolutely. You know, we look forward to I look forward to coming in and visiting with you every month, and keeping constituents aware of what's going on, because it's necessary.
Yes,
it's an integral part of the process.
It is. Well, thanks for getting up. Well, it's no big deal for you to get up early. You got the farmers hours instilled in you. So
always happy to get up for you, Tom.
Certainly appreciate the update, Brad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.